Captain Carly, Book 1 in the Carly's Cave series. Written by Kathy Walker. Narrated by D.L. Walker.
Chapter 1. Sorry, no girls allowed. Carly sat at the tea table staring glumly at her bears. When she got up this morning, a tea party had sounded exactly right. She had dressed herself and her bears in their finest clothes, especially Mr. Cuddlesworth, who looked extra dashing, and set off the special tea set. The scones and tea were perfect. Even Fuzzy Wumpkin said so, and she knew he didn't really like tea. But Carly wasn't in the mood for a tea party anymore. She would never admit this to any of her bears, especially Barnabas, who tended to get grumpy. But this tea party was boring. Carly looked around and caught the expressions on Buttercup and Tuffy's faces. Maybe they thought so, too, and were just too polite to say so. Carly looked out the window of the playroom. Across the yard, she could see her older brother Bobby and two of his friends. Bobby stood on a stump, clutching a wooden pirate sword and yelling as he jumped off and swung the sword at his friend. The three of them ran off, laughing wildly and shouting about treasure.
"That looks fun," Carly thought.
She glanced down at her tea party dress and frowned. She couldn't jump off stumps in that. Carly raced up the stairs to her bedroom. She found some shorts and a t-shirt. She didn't have a pirate hat, so she tied a scarf around her head. "Something is missing," she thought. She found another scarf and tied it around her waist. "Perfect," she said to herself, since her bears were downstairs and she was the only one in the room. Carly clambered down the stairs and ran outside. As she sped toward Bobby, Carly noticed his sword and came to a screeching halt.
"I don't have a sword," she thought sadly. "Maybe Bobby has an extra one."
As she thought about going back to the house and checking Bobby's room, Carly looked at the ground. Lying right in front of her was a tree branch shaped perfectly like a sword. Carly snatched up the branch and ran full speed toward Bobby. Bobby and his friends stared at Carly as she stopped in front of them. She stood for a moment, catching her breath.
"What do you want?"
Bobby asked.
"It looks like she wants to play," Joey sneered.
"Girls can't be pirates," Kevin said, frowning at her. "Everyone knows girls are bad luck on ships."
"They are not,"
Carly exclaimed.
"Lots of pirate ships had girls."
"Name one,"
Bobby replied.
"Name one and you can play."
Carly knew she was right. She was absolutely positive. But she thought and thought and couldn't name any girl pirates. She glared at Bobby, her eyes going to slits.
"You're wrong, Robert Montgomery. You're wrong and you're just mean. You're a big meanie, and I don't want to play with you anyway."
With that, Carly jabbed her sword stick at her brother, then turned and flounced off. She could hear Bobby, Joey, and Kevin laughing as she made her way across the yard. As she reached the rocks at the edge of their yard, she turned and took one more look at the boys. This time Kevin had climbed on the stump. He and Joey were in the middle of a duel, swords swinging and clashing. As she watched, Bobby turned her way, and it almost looked like he was sorry. For a second, Carly wanted to ask him if she could play one more time. She almost turned around and headed back instead of climbing down the rocks to the beach next to their house. But she was still mad, so she stuck out her tongue at him and stalked away. Chapter 2. Entering the Cave. Carly scrambled down the rocks and trudged across the sand toward the water, dragging her stick behind her. She sat down on a big rock facing the ocean.
"I wish I could actually be a pirate," she thought. "Everything here is so boring. Being a pirate would never be boring. It would be fun and exciting all the time."
Carly sat on her rock, imagining her pirate life. Then she sighed and stood up. She turned around to go back to her boring playroom and her boring bears. As Carly started walking back up the beach, she noticed a little cave in the rocks. She crouched down and peered inside. The cave was really dark, and she couldn't see much. She got on her hands and knees and crawled inside. After crawling for a few feet, the cave opened up and Carly could stand. An opening in the rocks above her let in a little light, enough so she could see. Carly turned in a circle. The cave was small, about the size of her bathroom at home. Near one wall stood a flat rock with another smaller rock beside it, almost like a table and chair. Carly hugged her arms and jumped up and down. The cave wasn't much, but no one knew about it, so she could make it her very own. Carly sat down on the chair-sized rock, her mind already planning all the things she could do with her very own cave. She rested her arms on the table rock and bumped a sketchbook lying there, sending it to the floor with a crash. Carly bent over to pick it up. She lifted the front cover, expecting to find drawings, but it was blank.
"I wonder who left this here," she thought. "Maybe this isn't my very own cave after all."
Carly knew she shouldn't touch other people's things, but she loved to draw, and the sketchbook didn't seem to belong to anyone. When she found a pencil at her elbow, she couldn't resist. Carefully, Carly put the first line on the blank piece of paper. She would draw a pirate ship, she decided.
"I'll draw the best pirate ship ever," she said out loud, "better than Bobby could ever imagine, and my ship will have a girl captain."
Slowly, her ship appeared on the paper. She took a long look when she was done. It was a pretty good pirate ship, she decided. Maybe she could take the paper home with her and hang it on her wall. Carly set the sketchbook back on the rock and stood up. Suddenly, the book began to spin, going round and round like a ride at the fair. The book rose off the rock, spinning faster and faster until, poof! It disappeared in a burst of light that had Carly covering her eyes with her hands and flinching back against the wall. When Carly uncovered her eyes and turned around, the sketchbook was gone. And in its place stood a small bottle with a tiny, detailed ship inside.
"Cool!"
Carly exclaimed, picking up the bottle to examine the ship more closely.
"This is the perfect pirate ship!"
Suddenly, the bottle started shooting off gold sparkles. The sparkles swirled around Carly until she couldn't even see the walls of the cave. Then they burst in the air, leaving Carly standing on the deck of her perfect pirate ship. Chapter 3. Pirates Ahoy! Carly blinked rapidly as she gazed at the ship around her. Finally, she closed her eyes, tight.
"I must be dreaming," she thought. "When I open my eyes, I'll be back home."
Carly slowly cracked open her eyes, just enough to see the planks beneath her feet. Then she shut them back up tight. As Carly felt the ship rock beneath her feet and smelled the salt air breeze, she couldn't pretend anymore. Her eyes popped open and she looked around. Somehow, Carly's t-shirt and shorts had become a real pirate outfit, with knee-length brown pants, a long sash, and a flowy white shirt that ballooned out in the wind. She even wore a pirate hat and coat and carried a real-life sword on her hip instead of the tree branch she'd picked up in her yard. Carly took off her hat and looked at it. Right at the very front sat a pin with a skull on it. Carly smiled and put her hat back on. She liked that the grinning skull was right in front for everyone to see. This ship looked exactly like the pirate ship in the bottle. Carly stood at the back of the ship. A pole, she thought it was called a mast, rose up from the center of the ship. A sail billowed in the wind. The ocean stretched out as far as she could see. Right in front of her, sitting on a barrel and holding the ship's wheel with his fuzzy paws, sat Barnabas, the bear. Carly took a step toward him.
"What are you doing here, Barnabas?"
Carly's stomach gave a great big jump as Barnabas answered.
"Ahoy there! You don't think the only thing we do is go to tea parties, do you?"
As Barnabas turned around, Carly could see that instead of his tea party clothes, now he was wearing an amazing pirate outfit. Barnabas jumped down from the barrel and called for Buttercup to take the wheel. Buttercup's outfit was colorful like Barnabas's, with a jaunty pirate hat and long, dangly earrings. She climbed onto the barrel and sat down.
"Well, I better show you around. This place we're standing on is the poop deck."
Carly couldn't help giggling.
"The poop deck?"
Barnabas rolled his eyes, as well as a stuffed bear could roll his eyes.
"Yes, the poop deck. It's at the back, or aft, of the ship."
Carly tried to stop smiling at the thought of a poop deck, but her face didn't want to. She slapped her hand over her mouth and giggled quietly as Barnabas went on.
"Your captain's berth is below. Would you like to see it?"
Carly stopped giggling and looked at Barnabas with wide eyes. She turned her head toward a board extending past the edge of the ship.
"You mean down there?"
she asked, her voice shaking just a little bit. She took a deep breath and put one foot up on the plank.
No, I didn't mean for you to walk the gangplank. You'd just end up as shark bait. And then who would be our captain? I meant that your berth, or bedroom, as you landlubbers call it, is below our feet. The stairs are that way."
Carly nodded, the relief showing in her face.
The ocean is really pretty, she thought, but I don't want to swim in it right now.
Before Carly and Barnabas could investigate Carly's berth, they heard a shout from above.
There's a ship on the horizon,
Tuffy called. Carly looked up, way, way up. Tuffy perched on a board with a basket on top, nearly to the top of the mast.
Wait, Carly said excitedly. I know what that thing is. Isn't that called a bird's nest or something?
Barnabas turned to face Carly. It's usually called a crow's nest, although really only whaling ships have crow's nests. No, on a pirate ship, it's called a fighting top.
Captain, Tuffy called again, I can see another ship. What are your orders?
Chapter 4. Carly Flies the Jolly Roger. Carly turned to Barnabas with a questioning look in her eye.
Carly, you're the captain, Barnabas said. What would you like us to do?
Carly's stomach started to jump and shake. She felt a little queasy. She'd never had to make a decision like this before.
Barnabas looked at her steadily, waiting for her to speak.
Carly opened her mouth, but she couldn't make any words come out. Fuzzy Wumpkins walked up the deck and jumped up onto a nearby box.
Let me tell you a story, he said. Long ago, there lived a famous pirate named Anne Bonny.
A girl pirate? Carly interrupted.
Yes, a girl pirate. Annie was born far across the sea in Ireland. She was a beautiful girl with long red hair. She also had a mean temper and a stubborn streak. She didn't want to do the things girls usually did.
Like be nurses or teachers? Carly asked.
Something like that, yes, Fuzzy Wumpkins said with a smile. When Anne grew up, she decided she wanted to be a pirate. She left home and sailed with many pirates, including Calico Jack, who was a really famous pirate. Even though Anne was a girl, she was as good of a pirate as any man, even better than most of them. She sailed the seas, plundering ships and gaining treasure for many years. If you want to know what a pirate would do, think of Anne, and she'll show you the way.
Carly thought about Anne. She thought about the other ship, about how maybe they had treasure. Bobby always talked about treasure, and Carly wanted to know more about it. She turned to Barnabas.
What should I do if I want their treasure?
The first thing to do, said Barnabas, is to run the Jolly Roger up the flagpole.
The what?
Asked Carly.
The Jolly Roger, Barnabas said. The pirate flag with the skull and crossbones.
Barnabas opened a chest on deck. Inside were many flags.
Why do we have so many flags? Carly asked. We only have one flagpole.
Well, sometimes we fly a flag that belongs to another country, Barnabas explained. Then people don't know we're pirates.
Oh,
Carly said. That was smart, but it also seemed like a great big lie.
Carly pulled out a red flag with a skull and crossbones.
This one?
She asked.
No, Barnabas said. The black one. We only use the red one if the ship runs from us.
Carly picked up the black flag and handed it to Buttercup, who climbed up the mast and secured it to the pole.
Now they give us their treasure?
Carly asked.
Now we fire a warning shot. One shot from our guns to let the other ship know we want to come aboard.
Will you do that?
Carly asked.
I think Mom would get mad if I touched a gun, especially a big pirate gun.
Barnabas went below to the gun deck. Minutes later, Carly heard a big boom and saw smoke rising from the side of the ship. Carly shaded her eyes from the sun and watched the other ship. They didn't seem to be stopping. In fact, the ship looked like it was turning around. Suddenly, the ship's sails filled with wind and they zoomed away in the other direction. Barnabas winked at Carly from the top of the stairs.
Looks like it's time for the red flag, he said.
Carly picked up the red flag and handed it up to Buttercup. As Buttercup climbed the mast to secure the flag, Carly realized she had a very serious problem. She had no idea how to sail a ship. Chapter 5. Catch That Boat. Carly stared at the departing ship. She needed to go after them, but her ship was facing the wrong way. She walked to the wheel and took it from Barnabas.
So, if I just turn this wheel, we can follow the boat?
Sort of, Barnabas said. Turn the wheel to the starboard and tell the crew to haul the port main brace about to square as we reach our proper bearing.
Carly didn't even have to say she didn't understand. Barnabas could tell by the blank look on her face. He turned to Fuzzy Wumpkins.
You explain.
Turn the wheel to the right, Fuzzy Wumpkins explained. Then,
Tell the crew to move the yard, that pole attached to the sail, to face the front of the ship as we get going in the right direction.
Oh, I can do that, Carly said.
Buttercup and Mr. Cuddlesworth worked on the ropes while Carly turned the wheel. Slowly, the ship started to turn.
Now, straighten out the wheel, Carly, Barnabas shouted, and tighten both the braces. Now we need to go fast.
Wind filled the sail, and the ship began to move faster and faster. Carly watched the other boat. It got a little bit closer, but it was still pretty far away. Suddenly, Tuffy shouted,
"Land ho!"
from her place on the fighting top. Carly looked as hard as she could. She squinted her eyes. She climbed up on the railing to see better, but she couldn't find land anywhere. She jumped down in disgust.
"That's why we have Tuffy up there, Carly. She can see more of the ocean than we can," said Fuzzy Wumpkins.
Barnabas added, "See how the other ship is starting to turn? That's so they won't run into the island." The ship Carly was chasing turned right, then turned left, then disappeared from sight behind what was suddenly looking like a mountain. Carly had been so busy watching the other ship, she forgot to be the captain. She forgot to tell everyone to turn the boat.
"Oh, no!" Carly exclaimed. "We're going to run into the island!"
Carly remembered how to turn. She told everyone what to do, then watched as the island zoomed closer and closer.
"We're not turning fast enough!" she panicked.
"No, we're not," said Barnabas. "Drop the anchors on the port, left side. They'll drag in the sand, and that should slow us down and help us turn."
"We have more than one anchor?" Carly asked, confused.
"Yes,"
Barnabas snapped. Fuzzy Wumpkins stepped in front of Barnabas.
"Yes, Carly, we have that one big anchor at the back of the ship, plus lots of smaller anchors on both sides."
Carly held her breath as her ship slowly, slowly came parallel with the island. She closed her eyes in relief and was about to give the orders to start sailing straight again when the boat drifted back toward the island.
"That's not supposed to be happening. What am I doing wrong?" she asked Barnabas.
"We seem to be caught in the riptide," Barnabas replied. "We need to heave to."
Fuzzy Wumpkins leaned close and whispered in Carly's ear,
"One of the currents around the island is pulling us toward the shore. We need to slow down and stop."
"Drop the anchors on the other side, Carly," Barnabas continued. "Turn the wheel right and the sails left. The boat won't know which way to turn and it'll slow us down."
Carly gave the orders. Barnabas took over the wheel, and she could see him struggling to keep the boat on course.
What about the big anchor?" Carly asked. "Wouldn't that stop the ship?"
"It would help," Barnabas answered, "but it might also break our boat apart."
The beach came closer and closer. Carly scrunched her eyes up tight. Suddenly, she felt a bump, and the ship stopped moving.
"We've run aground," Barnabas declared.
Carly opened her eyes and looked around.
"But the beach is way up there," she exclaimed.
"The bottom of the boat goes deep into the water," Barnabas explained. "It's on the sand. But up here where we are, there's still lots of water."
"Oh, we lost the other ship," Carly said dejectedly. "Now we can't get their treasure."
"Maybe not," Barnabas said. "But I think we can find something even better. We're stopped on Hidden Island, and Scuttlebutt says that a big chest of treasure is hidden somewhere around here."
Who is Scuttlebutt?"
Carly asked, confused.
"Scuttlebutt isn't a person. It means rumors, Carly. Tall tales."
"Lots of people say there's treasure on this island," Fuzzy Wumpkins added. "Oh," Carly exclaimed. "Well, let's go get it."
Chapter 6. Where did everyone go? Carly closed one eye and judged the distance to shore. Then she took the spyglass Barnabas handed her and looked again.
"I don't think I can swim that far," she said doubtfully. "And do you really want to get your fur all wet?"
"I suppose we could swim," Barnabas replied as they walked to the edge of the ship. "But we don't have to. Just follow Buttercup."
The other bears lowered down a small rowboat, just big enough for the six of them. Buttercup climbed down a rope ladder on the outside of the ship.
"That's Jacob's ladder," Fuzzy Wumpkins explained. "Go down like Buttercup did. You can do this, Carly."
Carly took a deep breath and put one leg over the side. She clutched the ropes as if her life depended on it, because maybe it did, and swung the other leg around. Carefully, she put one foot down the rope, then another, until she sat safely in the middle of the rowboat. Buttercup and Tuffy held the oars in their paws, rowing steadily until the rowboat reached the beach and they could all hop out. Carly and her bears crossed the sand. They found a dirt path that led through the trees. The shadows of the trees dimmed the light and made it hard to see. As captain, Carly led the way. She walked, talking to her crew and listening to the wind rustle through the top of the forest. Suddenly, she realized her crew wasn't talking back, and those rustling, scuffing noises couldn't be the wind, because there wasn't any wind. Carly turned around slowly, just in time to see Mr. Cuddlesworth disappear through the bushes, with ropes tied around both sets of paws. Carly's head swung frantically from side to side. All of her crew had vanished. She ran to where she last saw Mr. Cuddlesworth. Carly followed the drag marks until the underbrush became too thick and she lost the trail.
"Barnabas!" she called. "Tuffy! Mr. Cuddlesworth! Somebody!"
No one answered. Carly was left all alone on a strange island. Carly's face scrunched up as she began to cry. She sat on a fallen tree and thought about everything that had happened since morning. It seemed she'd started her tea party forever ago. She'd drunk tea with her bears, fought with her brother, found a magic cave, and learned how to be a pirate. She'd had adventure after adventure all day. Carly dried her eyes. "That's what I wanted," she thought. "I wanted things to be fun and exciting all the time." Maybe this part wasn't fun, but she could call it exciting. "I'm the captain," Carly said to herself. "It's my job to take care of my crew." Carly stood and turned all the way around. The forest surrounded her, with the mountain on one side and the beach on the other. Where would be a good place to hide? Carly thought. The mountain wouldn't be good because you'd have to climb forever and ever to get there. I guess the forest would work, but anyone could walk around a tree and see you. But the beach is worse. You can see everything on a beach. Carly thought about her beach at home. She thought about the sand and the water and the rocks. "Caves!" Carly exclaimed. "If beaches have rocks, they have caves!" Carly struck out through the forest toward the ocean. After a short walk, she emerged from the forest shadows into bright, hot sunlight. She walked to the edge of the water, then turned around and examined the interior of the island. The forest stretched in front of her. She turned and walked a little way down the beach. She rounded a corner and saw a little bay with rocks stretching up from the sand. "Rocks means caves," Carly said to herself. Sure enough, several caves opened up from the piles of rock. Carly checked out the first and didn't find anything but dirt and spiders. A bunch of bats roosted on the ceiling of the second, so Carly didn't spend much time there. At the third cave, Carly hit the jackpot. She heard voices as soon as she got near, so she entered the cave as quietly as a mouse. She peeked around a ledge of rock and saw one of the strangest sights she'd ever seen. In the center of the room sat a huge treasure chest. Behind the chest, all five of her bears sat, both sets of paws tied up with rope. And standing in the far corner of the room stood a ragtag assortment of animals, all equipped with swords and knives and looking rather ferocious. Chapter 7. Fight for the Treasure. Carly stood very, very still. She counted the animals, which proved to be more difficult than she thought because they were all different sizes and moving around. 7. 7 animals to sneak past, defeat, or outwit. A tiger, a wolf, a monkey, a porcupine, a squirrel, a mouse, or maybe that was a rat, and something that looked like a mutant pig. A boar, that's what it was called. Carly edged along the wall when their backs were turned, trying her best to be invisible. She'd almost reached Barnabas when the squirrel turned around and squeaked in alarm. Carly raced the last couple of feet toward Barnabas. The monkey jumped in front of her, swinging his sword. Carly dove for the floor, then brought her own sword up and knocked the monkeys away, cutting him and spilling stuffing from his paw. Carly rolled over and cut the ropes holding Barnabas, then turned to confront the boar. He stared at Carly, then lowered his head and charged. Carly stood frozen in shock. At the very last second, she jumped out of the way, and the boar, unable to change direction, bonked into the wall and knocked himself out. Carly turned around to find all of her bears free and fighting valiantly. Barnabas had covered the porcupine with his coat so he wouldn't be able to use his quills and secured him with one of the ropes. Buttercup had taken off one of her earrings and dropped it over the rat's head. The rat struggled to get out, but the earring held so tight he couldn't even move his front paws. The squirrel seemed to be attacking everyone at once, jumping from one to the other and biting their ears. Carly reached in and grabbed him around the middle.
She ran outside the cave with him, spun him around a few times, and let him loose. He stumbled off in the wrong direction before falling over. Mr. Cuddlesworth and Tuffy came at the tiger from both sides, keeping him distracted while Fuzzy Wumpkins tied him up from behind. Buttercup was running around the cave with the wolf chasing her, until Barnabas reached out and got in the way of his paws, tripping the wolf and sending him tumbling flat on his snout. Soon, five bears and Carly faced the injured monkey. He peered around at his fallen partners. With stuffing still falling from his paw, he decided to run instead of fight. He dashed out of the cave and soon disappeared among the tops of the trees. The bears and Carly jumped up and down. They'd won the treasure!
"What do you want us to do with our captives?" Barnabas asked Carly. "Pirates show no quarter. We should destroy them."
Carly felt horror start in her stomach and travel to the top of her head and the tips of her toes.
"I don't want to hurt them," she said. "Can't we just take the treasure and leave them here?"
"Our captain chooses to show mercy," Barnabas shouted. "Everyone, return to the ship."
Even with six of them, the treasure box was almost too heavy to carry to their rowboat. Everyone took turns rowing. After all of the excitement of the day, they were all exhausted. Finally, they reached the ship and hoisted the treasure aboard. As they opened the lid, treasure spilled all over the deck. Jewels, rare coins, ropes of pearls, gold doubloons, and pieces of eight fought for attention.
"So this is what Bobby meant by treasure," Carly thought.
Carly sat down on a barrel and watched as her crew examined their treasure. Sure, it sparkled and was pretty, but Carly couldn't think of much to do with it besides look. She couldn't eat it. She couldn't really play with it. All it did was sit there.
"Treasure," she thought, "comes highly overrated."
Chapter 8. There's No Place Like Home. Fuzzy Wumpkins caught Carly's eye and smiled. Carly smiled back weakly.
"You look tired," he said. "Let me show you where your quarters are."
"Good idea,"
Carly replied. Carly trudged down the stairs to her cabin. She laid down on the bed. Fuzzy Wumpkins snuggled up next to her, and Carly threw an arm around him.
I miss my family," Carly sniffled, tears beginning to fall on Fuzzy Wumpkins' fur. "I miss my mom and dad. I miss my room. I even kind of miss Bobby. It's fun and exciting being a pirate, but it's also hard and scary. A lot scary."
Carly's tears ran faster and faster as she thought about all the things she loved about her home.
Maybe I could just be a pirate once in a while," she said to Fuzzy Wumpkins. "Maybe I can have both adventure and my family."
"You don't have to choose one or the other, Carly," Fuzzy Wumpkins said. "These are your adventures. You can stay as long as you like, but you can go home when you want, too. Use your cave when you need fun and adventure. Home will wait for you."
Carly wiped her eyes on the back of her hand and sat up.
How do I do that?" she asked Fuzzy Wumpkins. "I don't know how to get back home."
How did you get here?" Fuzzy Wumpkins asked. "Wouldn't you think you'd get home the same way?"
"I drew a picture," Carly began, then trailed off.
She looked around the room. Finally, her gaze settled on a sketch pad and pencil lying on the deck.
"Where did that come from?" she asked. "I didn't see those before."
Fuzzy Wumpkins smiled.
"Home will always be there when you need it. So will adventure."
Carly picked up the sketchbook and began to draw. She drew her house and her playroom with its tea table. She drew Bobby and Keith and Joey playing in the yard. She drew her mom and dad. She drew herself sitting on her very own bed. Carly placed the finished drawing on her desk. Again, the book began to spin until it disappeared in a burst of light. Carly opened her eyes to see another bottle on the desk. When she picked this one up, she saw a perfect version of her house nestled inside. When the bottle started shooting off gold sparkles, Carly smiled and squeezed Fuzzy Wumpkin's paw. The sparkles swirled, then burst in the air, and Carly was standing in the middle of her bedroom. Her captain clothes had been replaced by her play pirate clothes, except for the pin that was on her captain's hat. The pin balanced on her bedside table. Carly ran downstairs. She found her mom in the kitchen and gave her a great big hug. She walked outside onto the back porch. Bobby saw her step outside.
He stopped running and said something to Joey and Kevin, then jogged up to the porch.
"I'm sorry about before," he said when he reached her. "You can come play pirates with us if you want."
Carly smiled.
"I think I've had enough of pirates for one day," she said. "Maybe tomorrow."
Bobby smiled back and turned around to walk back to his friends.
"Oh, Bobby,"
Carly said.
"Yeah?"
"Anne Bonnie,"
Carly stated.
"Huh?"
"Anne Bonnie,"
Carly repeated.
"She was a girl pirate."
Bobby turned his head and grinned at her. Then he broke into a run and joined Kevin and Joey in their search for treasure. Carly opened the door and stepped back inside. She walked down the hallway to her playroom and sat down at the tea table. As Carly settled into her chair, she noticed that her bears were still wearing their pirate clothes. She giggled.
"We'll have a pirate-themed tea party," she told Barnabas and winked.
She could have sworn that Barnabas winked back.
Thank you for listening to Captain Carly. Written by Kathy Walker. Narrated by D.L. Walker. If you had fun with Carly and want to hear more of her adventures, have an adult help you go to www.kathywalker.info. That's KathiWalker.info.